Says recording?
Yeah.
Okay.
Welcome everybody to the May 6, 2021, Tehama County Solid Waste Management Executive Committee meeting. We are opening this meeting at 5:33. If you all stand for the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, and we will open the public comment.
I will be out of office tomorrow. My son's class has been, or his bus has been quarantined. So I'll be taking care of him tomorrow, but then I'll be back on Monday.
Anything else from anybody? We'll close the public comment. We'll move to our regular items, which first item for approval is the minutes of the March 4 meeting.
Second.
I have a public question.
Mm-hmm.
Can we get the 30-second video commercial sent in some way that could be posted on Facebook?
Yes.
Like shared?
Yeah, so Shane, what's our tip to that since you're managing Facebook?
Because I would definitely share it. I now have like over 800 or so people, 2,000 sometimes on there. Plus they have a 300 or 400 email list that I share with them. It was really good and I didn't think that was too awesome.
We'll put it on our, Shane will put it on our Facebook page.
Okay, we have a motion by Director Beach, a second by Director McKay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carries. We'll move to item B, the warrant register.
We have one question and it has to do with Stericycle. I don't remember seeing them on there twice for, in the previous months, but maybe they were, I missed it.
So they are not the best billers, so sometimes we will receive multiple invoices at one time. And they're supposed to bill us after each shipment and then monthly if it's more than that, right? So, but they don't, they'll give us sometimes 3 or 4 invoices at a time.
What kind of is the warrant register?
Did you make a motion?
Yeah.
Any second?
Second.
Motion by Director Carlson, a second by, excuse me, Director Bernadette. Thank you. All those in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. Grant funded warrants.
I'll make the motion. Another grant, sorry, the grant warrant.
Motion by Director Carlson, second by Director Beach. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay, regular agenda. First item on the regular agenda is the Rancho Tehama Oil Tank update.
So I've been mentoring Shay, we've been working through the tank at Rob's Recycling, which is now here and clean. At the board's direction, we've started conversations with Rancho Tehama to remove that tank as well, and Shay will be handling that project, so I'm gonna have her present this item.
So are we going to be leaving that Rancho Tehama, or are we gonna try to salvage it?
I don't think it's salvageable. The pictures, and we're looking at the pictures of the tank, it's in pretty rough condition. I don't think it would be a responsible or kind move on our part to offer that tank up to them for ownership. because I think that in the end will be a liability for them. I think it's probably compromised.
I guess my concern is if we start seeing oil dumped, I would mention the name of not bringing them all the way in here for their tanks. That was my concern on the question.
That's the same question. That's the same concern that the association has. And so what we've offered to do is we have grant funding to implement these programs. We've offered to provide them with containment pallets and 55-gallon drums that they can have serviced. They only produce a few hundred gallons of oil a year, so a few 55-gallon drums is more than sufficient for what they need. And then also we offer to provide them with oil drain containers that they can hand out to their residents so that they're made to contain the oil if they use them out there.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. And with that, I'll turn this over to Shay.
So the agency went to check on the condition of the oil tank at the Rancho Tehama Association Transfer Station. The tank holds approximately 350 gallons and has the capability of locking, but it is not currently locked. After talking with the attendants at the transfer station, they believe that it has the potential to be contaminated. We have received a quote from ACT Enviro for tank sampling. The proposal is attached with a quote of $1,025. If approved, while awaiting results, the tank will be closed to the public. Agency staff have communicated with the association that the tank will be removed. As the tank is in poor condition, it is not recommended that this tank is donated to the association. Staff will work with the association to establish another collection program for which the association will be responsible.
Motion by Director Leach and second by Director McKay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay, number two, SB 1383, AC review and update.
So Paul's not here, so I'll provide this on his behalf. Since our last meeting in April with the full board, and even since he wrote this, we've done even more, but he's finished compiling the list of edible food generators, which includes 45 tier one entities that have to comply by January 1st, and 41 tier two entities that have to comply by January 1st, 2024. So at this point in time, we don't have any edible food generators that are unknown. All of them have been determined to the best of our knowledge. Paul attended Tehama Together's Garden Mentoring Program on April 7th. There's a progress update on Reeds Creek Elementary School. They had some setbacks for their garden program due to COVID, but now they're coming back on track. So we're going to, when they get to a placement, we'll help them establish a composting program at their school. Right now they're just working on the garden. Additionally, Paul's been working with Red Lake High School in coordination with the Garden Mentor Program, UC Extension, to reestablish a garden on campus that can provide fresh produce to the cafeteria. He's assisting them in establishing a composting program that could lead to a community composting site, and also assisting in the high school in reestablishing a recycling program, which will, and also starting a new waste sorting program in the cafeteria. He also attended Tehama Together's food share meeting on April 20th, where he provided an update on the regulations. He sent out a survey to all food recovery organizations in Tehama County that, in order to determine excess food storage capacity. He's waiting for the results for that to come back. He has done quite a bit of research on various applications for tracking data, which will be paid applications, but they'll have the capability of tracking data from inspections of edible food generators and ultimately of any organic waste food or generator. So when we do our route reviews and things like that, it will be able to facilitate our complaint form and portal, and will provide a way to track paper purchases from all the jurisdictions. And he's currently looking at two or three, and the one he thinks will be the most efficient will be presented to the board in June. Paul and I also began training on a tool created by CalRecycle to assist the agency and creating an implementation record. We were selected by CalRecycle to be one of a handful of participants to test drive that tool, so we did that last Friday. It was very helpful. We had a little bit of constructive feedback, but the most benefit we got from it is that we have this tool ahead of other jurisdictions, and because it was so well designed, we can start using it to pull all of our data together ahead of time, so it's nice. Staff consolidated various questions, it's a long list of questions, into an email to CalRecycle to clarify specific requirements in the regulations relating to sampling of organic waste as is received with the landfill and MRF. And I met with Waste Connections to conceptualize on-site waste sampling and sorting, which is required effective January 1st, 2022. So just to clarify, we don't have to have a mandatory organic waste collection program in the county until 2027 because we have the rural exemption until then. But that doesn't exempt us to from our sorting that we have to do on site. So because we do receive source separated yard waste and we had received paper and cardboard in our recycling stream, and we receive textiles, and we receive carpet, all source separated, we have to still do on-site sampling to make sure to measure how much contamination's in it. And we also will have to do on-site sampling of our MRF residual and of our garbage. So what that essentially comes out to is about 200 samples per year, each being about 20 or 200 pounds, or each being at least 200 pounds in weight. And that comes out to us sampling 5 days a week, in 10 out of 12 weeks per quarter, all four quarters. So it's like a full-time job. That's something that the board's going to, you know, we're going to need to consider in June, whether or not the board wants to have Waste Connections do this, where they will be reimbursed as a change in law, or have the agency hire someone internally part-time to do it. The problem with Waste Connections doing it is that they've already complied with so many changes in law, and the contract that we have with them only allows them to be reimbursed a certain percentage, has a percentage cap reimbursement per year, that they're already almost at their ceiling of how much they can be reimbursed each year. Anyway, I'll have more information for you guys in June at the full board meeting, but it's something we'll have to consider by October. So that's what we have there. We're still waiting on feedback from CalRecycle on whether or not we'll have to do the route reviews. It looks like in the regulations that absent any additional direction from them, we will. So that'll be something that Paul will be taking on.
What will they be looking for?
Contamination in the waste streams.
Okay.
So in the recycling or the yard waste. It's kind of, we don't have to enforce it, but we still, it seems like we still have to do the route review and the inspection and provide feedback to the generator saying, hey, this isn't supposed to be in here. But at this point in time, there's no enforcement mechanism for it.
Is there a sampling going to be taken just from the regular, not separated at the source stuff that comes through, but people tend to just, in the general garbage bin, we'll throw in some recyclables and, oh, here's a bunch of leaves, dump them in there, and some food items. Is that going to be sampled? Is that just going to go straight to the landfill and we'll just concentrate on the ones that are particularly designated?
We will have to do one sampling of the garbage stream, which is what you're talking about, per year. It's either per quarter or per year. I can't remember off the top of my head because it varies. I believe it's per year. But that's only one sample. These other ones are 10 consecutive days of operating 200 pounds per day per material stream. So it's not as extensive as the other waste streams. And that's all I have for that one.
Item 3, grants update.
I'm going to turn this over to Shay for this one.
Okay. For the CalRecycle Local Government Waste Tire Amnesty Grant Program Cycle 5, amount funded was $31,790.52. The expenditure deadline is September 30th, 2021. And the goal is the agency will hold four tire, passenger tire collection events into agricultural tire collection events over the course of the two-year grant term with locations rotating throughout the county. The update is in process. The agency held four passenger tire collection events and two agricultural tire collection events. The agency will be holding one additional event by appointment only to expend the remaining funds. For the CalRecycle Used Oil Payment Program Cycle 9, the amount funded was $26,853. Expenditure deadline is June 30th, 2020. The goal is to ensure a combination of curbside used oil collection and certified used oil collection centers are available. The update is complete. The funds were used for staff time to conduct outreach at the various farmers markets and the Tehama District Fair, as well as staff time to manage the used oil program throughout the county. The oil payment program, but for cycle 10, the amount funded was approximately $26,563. The expenditure deadline was is June 30th, 2021. Goal is to ensure a combination of curbside used oil collection and certified used oil collection centers are available. The current update is in process. The agency's application for funds was approved by CalRecycle and funds were received by the agency. The funds are being used to conduct outreach at the various farmers markets and the Tehama District Fair, as well as staff time to manage the used oil program throughout the county. The used oil payment program for cycle 11, the amount funded is approximately $25,000. The expenditure deadline is June 30th, 2022. It has the same goal to ensure a combination of curbside used oil collection and certified used oil collection centers are available. The current update is in process. The agency's applications for funds was approved by CalRecycle and payment was received on April 29th. The CalRecycle City County Beverage Container Payment Program amount funded was based on population, approximately $25,000 a year. The expenditure deadline is continuous, and the goals were to conduct public education and outreach to increase participation in beverage container recycling programs, ongoing support of litter abatement, roadside cleanups, and cleanups of litter increase in other areas. Current update, the funds have been used for outreach at farmers markets throughout the county, submission of newsletters, site visits to Smart Business Alliance members, and recruiting new members, as well as giving recycling presentations and presentations from the 4R Kids Exhibit bus. The CalRecycle Household Hazardous Waste Discretionary Grant Cycle 37, amount requested is $100,000. Expenditure deadline is September 30th, 2024. The agency is currently working on the application for the Household Hazardous Waste Grant Program. This grant provides opportunities for the local governments in implementing safe household hazardous waste programs for collection, public education, source reduction, reuse, and or recycling of HHW. The deadline for application is May 6th. If awarded, the agency will use funds for minor hazardous waste facility improvements, conduct a multimedia outreach campaign, and provide annual HazWhopper refresher training for staff. The CalRecycle Local Government Waste Tire Amnesty Grant Program Cycle 6, amount funded is $27,444. Expenditure deadline is October 31st, 2023. This grant provides opportunities for the diversion of tires from landfill disposal, prevent illegal tire dumping, and promote markets for recycled content products. And then the CalRecycle Farm and Ranch Solid Waste Cleanup and Abatement Program. The amount funded is not yet known, as well as the expenditure deadline. The agency has started to prepare for the upcoming Farm and Ranch Solid Waste Cleanup and Abatement Grant. Application materials for fiscal year 2021-22 will tentatively be available summer 2021. This grant provides up to $1 million annually and grants for the cleanup of illegal solid waste sites on farm or ranch property. We are working in conjunction with the support of Fish and Wildlife. A piece of private property in Thomas Creek at Hall Road is the current desired location for cleanup and was visited by the agency last week. The property has an issue with habitual illegal dumping, trespassing, and camping.
So when you have a problem with the Hallbrook property, is the property ever contacted at all?
Yes, we can't do anything without their approval. So they have to, there's a bunch of stuff they have to do. First, they have to sign an affidavit stating that they didn't know or allow the dumping on the property. Typically, these properties are owned by absentee property owners, which is the case with this property too. Also, we have to receive authorization to enter the property and clean it up. So they are involved in that respect. This particular property owner just recently had a massive stroke, so we're actually working with his son for the project. Our warden, Mitch Carlson, was able to get us in contact with him. He provided us with the contact information, and he's the one that tipped us off to this property. So he met us out there. There's, you know, it's about 26 acres, is that how much it was?
I think so.
26 acres with a lot of nooks and crannies where you can dump stuff, like a lot of brush, invasive vegetation. So he's working on securing drone footage of the whole area so that we can have a better depiction of where all the waste is. So he'll do that within Fish and Wildlife. And then part of the recommended remediation of the site will include removing all the invasive brush where people are hiding the garbage. So that it's just really going to be like native cottonwood trees and things like that when we're done. So he recommended us working with CAL FIRE so that CAL FIRE, after the garbage is removed, CAL FIRE can use that site as a training burn. So then they can train burn to remove all the invasive vegetation.
So was it absent property?
Yes. They live in Southern California.
So is there any expectation that they'll try to take care of the property in the future to keep an eye on that?
Part of the remediation is that we have to put something in place to prevent it from happening again, and we have a few ideas. Part of that, I need to actually talk to Director Leach, because it's in his district, on whether, there's the idea of perhaps just not reopening Hall Road once the creek dries up, because right now the creek dries up, the road's open again, and then you can't secure the creek bed, right? That's one of the biggest problems. So we're going to talk to Supervisor Leach about that, whether he's supportive. This is down the road. We've just now started to conceptualize what to do. There's a property owner south of the property who's been frustrated with the constant illegal dumping. Warden Carlson believes they would be supportive of us putting cameras on there that are connected to cell service, so we get real-time feedback from people who are dumping there. That's been pretty successful in other properties we've cleaned up in the past, because then the Fish and Wildlife can cite them immediately, basically. Those are the two things we're looking at.
It's kind of been an ongoing problem out there in the Thomas Creek Hall area.
Pretty bad.
It's kind of wide open. I mean, I know they close it down in the wintertime when the creek's running full, but the rest of the year is pretty well open, so they've got to go in there and dump. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, they're doing that.
Yeah.
And that is a long district.
Yeah.
And how many sites do you think you can clean up with this $1 million?
So we don't get the whole $1 million.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
You know, I have lots of places.
So we can apply for one site per cycle. So
okay.
I told Mitch that if he can continue feeding us eligible projects, we'll apply to clean them up. Right. We don't have the capability of doing that once we get. Especially since he does a lot of the initial footwork, like finding the property owner, contacting them. He's willing to support it and and also monitor the site when we're done. And he has done that for a site that we cleaned up in Cottonwood before too. So it's a good partnership to have between the two entities. I'm sure many of you know Mitch Carlson.
There's a few sites that are like that one's pretty bad, especially with it being in the creek too.
That's the big concern, yeah.
Yeah.
That's why his recommendation, and of course it's up to the Board of Supervisors, is to just not open up Hall Road anymore during when the creek dries up. Because there's no securing that property once Hall Road opens up.
Yeah. I wonder how that occurs. I mean, does it come through here or public works? Like, how do you close a road?
I don't know. I mean, we just met with them last week, and we're still conceptualizing the application and the, yeah.
It'd just be a gate or something, right?
It is gated, yeah. So right now, there's gates on both sides.
Yeah.
And so right now, when the creek dries up, they open the gates. So right now, the creek is flowing. It's closed. And so if we could line that property with K-rails so people can't get in, but like that doesn't do anything once the gate opens.
Do you need us to do something to help with that, or
no.
Do you want us to make calls or do anything?
We'll be approaching you once we have a solid idea of what we think the best ongoing remediation would be. And we'll also talk to Shane and I will both talk to Director Simon. Yeah.
Okay.
Who's the Director of Public Works.
Yeah.
Okay. Item 4, Smart Business Alliance update. Is that you, Shane?
Yes. The Tehama County Smart Business Alliance is a voluntary incentive program for the Tehama County businesses, nonprofits, and government entities to engage in waste reduction, reuse, and recycling in the workplace. The current list of SBA members due and existing are all listed below. And then 8341 requires any California business that generates 4 or more cubic yards of commercial solid waste per week or is a multifamily dwelling of 5 or more units to recycle. And recently, myself and Mary Catherine have started working on contacting local businesses via phone regarding the SBA, and we have some meetings planned in the upcoming weeks. Me and Paul just went yesterday and dropped off some information and materials to 7-Eleven in Corning. And so we're hopeful that we can get that started there. Kind of is my first project, I guess, with that.
It's a good list, though, because I remember when it started.
Mm-hmm. It was like, ding!
Yeah, this is really great.
Yeah.
Since this is mandated by the state, we have a really, really good turnout of people. What happens, is there any enforcement on the state level of people who just kind of ignore this? Is that by the county or is it actually done by the state?
So for AB 341, enforcement is done by the state onto the agency. So, so this happens to us every year, and I know this because I just went through what feels like you're being punished with them about a month ago, is that if you don't have 100% compliance, then you have to explain what you do to try to get compliance, what programs you have in place, how many people you talk to, all these things, all these data points, right? And if they find like you've made a good faith effort, then they let it go until next year. If they don't find that you made a good faith effort, then they'll give you a list of things that you have to do in a compliance plan. And what they've done with other jurisdictions is you need to pass ordinances that give you enforcement authority to enforce it, which is not technically required by the legislation, but they'll put that on you anyway to try to get you to do it so they can meet their goal. That's the main thing that they usually do. So that's how the enforcement happens.
Are you going through the chamber to contact businesses at all through their chamber? Right now it's free to put an announcement somewhere.
So we do participate in their e-blast, and we do advertise on our newsletters. We do a lot of advertising with the chamber, actually. But the majority of the contacts we make, or successful ones that we make, are done strictly in coordination with the haulers. So they provide us with the data, we use that data, and we reach out to the generator. And like she tries to make an appointment with them. You go in, you try to touch base with them. That's pretty much how we do it. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of footwork.
Okay. I would think that mobile home parks would be difficult to
whatever their goals are, because you're dependent on so many people to actually do it, versus some just assuming there's a bin there, people are supposed to do it.
Any place that there's a lot of turnover in resident tenancy is very difficult. So mobile home parks, apartment complexes, specifically apartment complexes where they have a lot of turnover, that seems to be some of the ones that have income qualification limits. For whatever reason, they're the hardest ones. And plus the management turns over a lot there too. So you're trying to work with the management and the turnover of the tenants quite a bit. That's why those programs are usually not very successful. There have been several instances where the recycling's there, you get management to put it in there, but the hauler is just, it's so grossly contaminated, the hauler will just pull the bins off. It is me. So I'm going to present this on behalf of Paul, because he's been working on this. So as the board is aware, we were recently redesignated as an RMBZ, and when we were redesignated, we were able to use some funds again. We already had the funds, but when we were out of our designation, we couldn't use the funds available to us. So we took the remaining funds, and I had Paul develop an outreach campaign, which he worked on over the last few months. That's just a brief summary of it. We placed a half-page advertisement in Joy the Magazine's January issue, which was distributed at a distribution of 20,000 copies per month. We placed a full-page advertisement in Red Bluff and Union County Chamber of Commerce's 2021 directory. We produced the 30-second video commercial, which we also used to in a digital campaign on Facebook with Deer Creek Broadcasting, which ran from February 19th to March 31st. The campaign served over 47,400 impressions. The video completion rate was 33.53%. The Facebook campaign served over 51,870 impressions and reached upwards of 37,300 users. The ad generated 325 clicks and 5,500 post engagements. We sponsored the Corning Chamber of Commerce, which included placing a flyer and information promoting the TCRMBZ on their website, and placing the same flyer in their April newsletter, and placing the same flyer in their weekly e-blasts. The agency partnered with the Red Bluff and Union County Chamber of Commerce to promote the RMBZ with standalone e-blasts, so it doesn't get watered down in the weekly e-blast with all of the other advertisements. They posted the program information in their normal weekly e-blast and on their website. They featured a message promoting the RMBZ on our electric message board. And they posted the RMBZ flyer on their Facebook and Instagram pages, placed ads in 3 monthly newsletters, with 1 newsletter featuring an article about the program, as well as featured the program in their weekly column with the Red Bluff Daily News on April 21st. Additionally, this was a part of the outreach campaign, but we've been working with a professor at CSU Chico School of Business to have her class create new ways to reach businesses and manufacturers so that they can use their RMBZ program. They'll be presenting their ideas on May 11th and May 13th during the class, and we encourage any board members interested to view their presentations. If you're interested, let me know and I'll forward you the meeting invite.
Monthly update.
Rachel. I've attached my monthly update for your review and I'm available to answer questions.
Anybody have any questions?
I'm glad you were successful in hiring. We've had some problems with other departments in finding people.
You know what I found is just, you know, it's hard to find good applicants. You get a lot of junk applicants, you know. And then also, once you're down, the recruitment process takes so long, you know. So that makes it more difficult. But I'm happy. They've been both doing a great, great job. I'm just very pleased.
I 7, outreach update from the state.
Mary Catherine and myself contributed waste reduction, recycling, and hazardous waste disposal information to the monthly Lake California POA newsletter, Rancho Tehama newsletter, as well as produced and distributed the Tehama County 4Rs e-news blast and educators waste awareness e-newsletter. The agency hosted a passenger tire collection event on Saturday, April 10th from 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. at the Corning Park and Ride in Evergreen Middle. Residents were also able to drop off tires at the Manton and Rancho Tehama transfer stations during the event. A total of 1,156 passenger tires were collected during the event. The agency gave a tour to 11 students and two parents from ACES of Red Bluff on Wednesday, April 21st. The agency attended the Tehama County Fair April 29th through May 2nd. There are plans to attend the Saturday River Park Farmers Market, Wednesday Night Farmers Market, Corning Farmers Market, as well as the Corning Olive Festival, Dairyville Orchard Festival, and the Manton Apple Festival. The agency will be hosting a passenger tire drop-off week from May 24th to May 28th. Residents can make an appointment to drop off up to 9 tires per trip without exemption, or up to 20 tires with exemption at the Tehama County Red Bluff landfill for free. Tires collected will be reported on at the next meeting if available. And the next hazardous household hazardous waste collection event will be held from 8 o'clock a.m. to 12 o'clock p.m. on May 8th at the Tehama County Red Bluff landfill, and on May 15th at Corning Disposal.
There
was a pretty good amount Friday and Saturday. When talking to Paul said he thought that there was a lot more traffic than in years prior.
Yeah.
Sunday was a little slower, but I think it was just because it was really windy, but there was still a good amount of people. But Friday and Saturday were definitely busier.
Do people have an interest in particular topics, or are they just asking things?
I got a lot about just general recycling questions. A lot of people took the pamphlets that are the What Can I Recycle? So I noticed a lot of people did that. And then the oil programs, we had oil filters and rags in the containers. So we gave out a good amount of those too, I think. And the kids really liked the bus. We took the bus with us, so the kids liked the exhibits.
Yeah. A lot of questions about why you're being billed separately in Corning.
I don't think so. For some reason we don't get a lot of Corning. We're prepared for it, but we don't just for some reason get a lot of questions.
I don't know. I think I've received about 30 phone calls, and I have to just not look at Facebook.
The wind did take out our pop-up tent, our pop-up shade canopy, so we'll have to be purchasing another one. Apparently it was mangled.
Yeah, and it was laid down pretty good. The wind was strong.
Yeah, we weighed each plane way down, each leg even weighed down with 30 pounds of sand, and it still took it out.
My niece's baby shower was Saturday, and we had a tent in the backyard so that everybody would stay away from each other. And in the middle of the night, the tent was ripped in half.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Anything else?
So this isn't to do with the meeting. I just got an emergency message. That's why I've been on my phone. I'm not trying to be rude, but Horry Jackson was just taken to the hospital. Orly Jackson was just taken to the hospital emergency.
Should we close the meeting so that it doesn't get recorded first and we can talk about it? So this will be posted to the body.
Okay, nothing else? We will close this meeting at 6:12.